Let us bow our heads. Father in heaven, as we open the Word of God, we ask that you will truly speak to us. Meet with us now. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk to you today about peace. P-E-A-C-E. Comfort inside. Not a piece of cloth or a piece of food, but that inner peace. There is a beautiful Bible verse that I have shared through the years with so many people. It's meant a lot to me. It means a lot to you. I have been at the side of many people who were sick and dying, knew they were dying. And I have shared this verse with them. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, that's Old English for fixed, or focused on thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed or fixed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I want to ask you a question. You notice I do this occasion in my sermons. And I'm going to, after a few moments for you to think about it, give you the opportunity to respond, to speak to me. You know, it's the time of the pastor speaking and you're quiet and he speaks. But I'm giving you permission to talk a minute. And here is my question. And there's not a right and wrong answer. This is not a trick question. It's an honest, open question. What do you think of when you think of peace? What's the Russian word for peace?
Mir.
Mir?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think of when you think of mir? Close your eyes for about 10 or 12 seconds and think. Close your eyes now. What do you think of when you think of peace or mir? Okay. Share with me what your thoughts were that related to peace. Just raise your hand. Yes, ma'am.
Happiness.
I'm going to come to that. I'm going to come to that. Yeah, yeah. In Israel, they greet you with words like Shabbat Shalom on the Sabbath day. Sabbath peace. And it means happiness. That's right. And when they part, they will say, Shalom, peace or happiness to you. Yeah. Anybody else? Oh, come on. When you say the word peace, something comes to your mind, I know. Many things. Raise your hand. Here's a hand back here, sister.
Calmness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Big time. Big time. Bible says that too. I'll read a verse about that in a bit. Anything else? The Lord wants us to understand this for a reason. Come on. Somebody else. What do you think of when you think of peace? Don't tell me you don't think of anything. Heart.
Yes.
Heart. All right. And I'll talk about that. Oh, I have a story about that. Well, we have a lot of shy people. I'm never imagined we had so many shy people here. But are we losing sound?
Nope.
Oh, I'm glad you saw something I didn't. And I can tell already it's picking the sound up. Is that better? Thank you, Danny. Thank you. May your tribe increase. Peace, tranquil, serene, secure, opposite of war and contention or trouble. Safe, fulfillment, needs met, quiet, nature. Oh, so often when we go out in nature, we find peace and strength and calm. Stability, protection, a state or condition of law and order, very important. I'm going to talk about that in a bit. A pact or an agreement to end war. And as we mentioned, in some languages and countries, peace is a greeting. Shalom. Peace is a greeting. It also means at one or reconciled. I want to read a little story about a Chinese farmer. A Chinese farmer was walking along a road carrying a jar of soup suspended on a stick. You say, my goodness, what are you talking about? A jar of soup suspended on a stick? Yes, there was like a net, like a basket attached to the back of the stick. And you know, in most of the world, people do not have cars, or few of them do. Throughout the continent of Africa, very few people have cars. Most of India, Burma, these countries, they don't have cars. If they have something beyond their legs to move with, it's a bicycle or a motor scooter, you know. And these people, they carry pots and baskets on their head very effectively. And often they'll wear a little yoke and they can carry a heavy burden. And sometimes they'll carry a stick with something attached on the end. And that stick, as it sticks out here, they can just move their hand a little bit forward or a little bit closer to their body, and it gives them tremendous leverage. They can control the weight back there very easily. It's like a what we call a fulcrum or leverage. And this man had a stick, and he had a basket like holding this jar, large jar of soup, and he was walking along. And as he was walking along, he came to a crowd of people, and somebody in that crowd had something very, very stout, stiff, that bumped him, whether it was a log or something he was carrying, and it broke his jar, and the soup spilled, and the man just kept walking. And a bystander spoke to him and said, "Sir, your jar is broken. Your soup is spilled." And the farmer responded, "Yes, I know." And he just kept walking. He says, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" And he said, "What can I do? The jar is broken. The soup is spilled." And just continued on his way. But he said, "Aren't you going to do something about it?" And the farmer spoke to him and he said, "At my home, I'm going to my home and there is a well-prepared meal," and just kept walking. He had a confidence and a peace and an assurity of what was at the end of the road. You follow me? We'll come back to that later on. Each of us needs something like that. The world is full of troubles and stress. Jesus was with his disciples. He was tired. He was exhausted. He'd worked hard that day, met many people, met many needs. And working with people, you can get very tired and exhausted. They can drain you. And there were times Jesus just said, we need to come apart for a while. If you don't come apart for a while, you will come apart. Yeah, yeah. He knew there was a time and a place for rest. And he was so tired he went to sleep. He got out in the boat to get away from the crowds. And while he's out there, something happened that frequently happens there on the Sea of Galilee. The water is one temperature, the ground is a different temperature. And on those hills and mountains there, the wind currents are affected and they come down on that lake very suddenly. And they get troubled waters, they get big waves. And there was a storm. And the disciples were scared for their life. And they finally hollered out. They couldn't believe he was still sleeping. They said, Master, save us. And he spoke the words, peace, be still. And they were amazed. Everything was calm. And they said, even the winds and the sea obeys him. Friends, we will all have moments where there's big trouble in our life. And we need to know that he's in charge. He can say, peace, be still. And assure and strengthen us and calm the troubles of what's going on about us and bring us through them. He said, in this world you will have troubles, but I'll be with you through your troubles. I'll give you peace. In the book Steps to Christ on page 86, the Lord's servant says, he knows and notices and controls all. If we fully believed, do you believe that he notices and controls all? If we believed, there would be less anxiety, meaning fear or apprehension in our life and disappointment. There would be a rest of soul many have been a stranger to. I've conducted many programs in my church. You know, I don't know, I've probably had personally my own 20 evangelistic meetings at least. And I'm sure I've had at least 20 evangelistic meetings with big name evangelists coming in. And that's wonderful, and we like to do that, and it's important and needed. But there's other things you do in your church too to touch the community. Many people would not come to a Bible-based program, but they'll come to something like a parenting class or a weight loss class or an exercise class or a stop smoking time event, maybe to a stress seminar. And we were doing many programs in this church I was in. And one program they hadn't done that I knew was out there available, I knew the man that put it together, Russ Potter and some of his friends, Carlos Padero, and I said, I want us to do a stress program in our church. And I said, the first one or two we do, I'm going to be one of the people that leads out in it. Now, I'm usually delegating to somebody else to do things, but I wanted to do this. And I whispered to one of my elders, I said, you know, the reason I want to do this in our church, it's for me. It's for me. I need it. I need it. There's a lot of stress in a pastor's life. A lot of troubles you deal with. And so in that, we talked about diet and staying away from stimulants, alcohol, caffeine or tobacco and rest and exercise, very important in lowering stress in your life. And the many, many things that people deal with. some events in life you have no control over, and they're really stressful. The death of a loved one, a divorce, on and on. You could talk about them, financial loss. But as we did this, something was brought out in the class. That's a fact. Do you know the thing that people go to doctors, medical doctors, about more than anything else? They want a prescription for a relaxant or a sleeping pill. The pharmaceutical companies, the doctors make more money off of this. And it all goes back to stress-related things. People lacking peace in their life because of troubles they're dealing with. This is a very real thing, people needing peace. And God knows it. And God provides it. There's a beautiful verse again in Isaiah. There's many, many verses, well over 100 verses in the Bible about peace. And I'm just using 4 or 5 throughout this whole message. But in Isaiah 32, 17 and 18, it says, "The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness." Now, you know, Jesus is our righteousness. We have no righteousness. The effect of Jesus or righteousness in our life is peace and quietness. One of you said calm. Yeah. And it actually uses the word calm in some of the Bible verses. Yeah. Yeah. The greatest musical piece that has ever been written by a man, a human being, is Handel's Messiah. Everybody has heard and knows of Handel's Messiah. And around the world, it's acknowledged by everyone. This is the greatest musical score ever written. And right at the heart of Handel's Messiah, that great, that marvelous piece of music, the very crescendo, the peak of it, the epitome of everything it's saying. You remember those beautiful words. It builds up to that point, and it says, "Wonderful, Counselor," quoting Isaiah 9, 5 and 6. "Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." And you know the next words, "Prince of," say it, "Peace, Prince of Peace." He is the Prince of Peace, the King of Peace. You want to know peace and its royalty? Know Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you a story from my life that is a very sensitive thing. And I never told anybody this story after it happened. For over 60 years, just a couple years ago, I ever shared this for the first time with anybody. And I realize there is an illustration here. Hopefully, we can learn something from. As a little boy growing up in my home, I was the last of 5 kids. I was what they call the baby, the last one. And I had 2 older sisters. And you know, every little kid, and I was a rambunctious boy, full of energy, and you know how kids do. You fall down, you scrape your elbow or your knee or cut your chin, and you're crying and you're hurt and you're in pain, and you're looking for mom or your big sister. And here I am, 3, 4, at the most 5 years old. And I remember a couple of times things happen, and they pick me up and put me in their lap, and they kiss me on the forehead or the cheek. I knew what a kiss was. That's what I knew about a kiss. It's a kiss. It's marvelous. I mean, a mother, a big sister, can take a little kid cuddle them in arms, give them a kiss, and I mean, things just change. It gets better, doesn't it? It's a miracle what you mothers can do with these little children. And it works. It just works. Well, that's what I knew about a kiss. And then I was in school, and when I was in school, across the nation, and it's not there in most of the schools anymore, but you went to elementary school, you went grades 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then you went to high school, 9, 10, 11, 12, high school, okay? Today, they usually go 6 grades in elementary grade school, 3 grades in intermediate school, junior high, and then they go to high school. Wasn't that way when I was a kid? You'll see why I'm telling you this. I got up to the 7th grade, and they announced something very surprising to us. They said, you will not go to 8th grade here at George Barber Elementary School in Akron, Ohio next year. You're going to go right on down to high school, Akron East High. Akron's a town of 250,000. It's the rubber capital of our nation. Goodyear, Firestone, General Tire, all these major rubber companies are there. And it was a big high school, 1,400 students in that high school. 1,400 students. That's a big high school. That's a big school. And so, and the reason this happened is because so many men were gone in World War II, over in the Pacific, all through the Pacific, in North Africa, all through Europe. It was like 1 million men away from home, at bases wherever in the world, up in Iceland and Greenland, I mean, all over the world. The men were gone. But right after the war, they came home. And what do you suppose happened? There was a whole lot of babies born. Yeah. In fact, they call it the baby boomers, the kids in that era. From 1946 to about 50, there was just a tremendous influx of new population. And I know it happened in Europe and in your countries too. Well, because of that, there was so much pressure on the schools, they had to change things. And they were building new schools. And there were so many little kids coming up behind me. They knew this flood of little children was coming, that they had to change the school system. So I'm just 13 years old, and now I'm in 8th grade down at Akron East High. And there's kids there that are 17 and 18 years old. I mean, you know, they're grown adult people. And I'm just a kid about this tall, you know. And it's a whole new world. Well, when I go down there to school, you got to understand something about where I grew up. Football is a big thing. Just a week ago, they had the national football game between the two major colleges that had the best teams this year. Ohio State played Alabama and unfortunately lost. But I'm trying to tell you, 12 miles from where I went to high school is the Football Hall of Fame, the huge museum in Canton, Ohio, 12 miles. And football's a big thing there. You're going to understand why I'm telling you this in a moment. Because when I went down to school, school always starts the first day after Labor Day in Ohio, first week of September. We go down there to high school. I'm a new kid, just a little boy. And they tell us now, 2 or 3 days from now, instead of going to home class in the morning, you're not going to go to home class in the morning. You're going to skip that class. You're going to come out here in the parking lot at the school, and we're going to have a big rally for our football team. And so a couple days after school starts, because it's just another week and they're going to have their first football game. I mean, football's a big thing there. And so we're 1,400 kids out in the parking lot. Now, this is 1953. In that whole school of 1,400 kids, very different than today, there wasn't 20 kids went to that high school. There wasn't 20 kids that had a car and drove to school. Everybody walked or you took a bus. It was a different world. The only cars hardly at all out there were the teachers' cars. So that day, all the teachers and the few students... Many kids drive to school in a car today. Not then. They're all parked at the end of the parking lot, and here's 1,400 teenagers out in this parking lot, and I'm one of them. And, man, I mean, they got the team up there and the coach there, and they are telling us how they're going to beat Central High this coming weekend. And, of course, they want us all to go and buy a ticket. And it's so exciting, and some of the big boys on the football team were talking and telling what their techniques and moves were going to be and how they hoped to win. And the coach was up there talking, and they had the band, the school band, was beating the drum. I mean, those big drums, you know, that go like this. I saw them in Russia when they had funerals, you know. They would walk along with those big drums beating them. And they had the snare drums, and they had people playing the trumpets, and they had the majorettes and the cheerleaders up there, the girls with their little short skirts, and they were kicking their legs in the air and turning somersaults and waving their pom-poms. I mean, this was a rah, rah time. I'm painting a picture for you because you got to understand something. While this is going on, and I'm a little boy there, 13, just glued, and all the emotions and the music and the frivolity that's going on, I'm just captured by it. And out of the blue, a girl walks up to me. She had to be a couple years older. She kissed me. Right on the lips. She French kissed me. I was paralyzed. I was blown away. It all happened just like that. Two, 3 seconds. And she slipped away in the crowd. I never told this story for decades. I was blown away. I didn't know what was happening. I was standing on my toes. I was embarrassed. I was excited. I was ashamed. I didn't know what to do. I was standing there, and I thought, oh, my God. And I thought everyone was looking at me, and I looked around. Nobody was looking at me over here. Nobody was looking at me over. They were all just, everything was on the stage up there. And I was thankful for that, but I thought, what is going on? I can't believe this. I never saw her again. I wouldn't have recognized her face. I really didn't know who she was. And I thought, why, I don't understand anything. It's happening. I felt out of control. I felt used. I don't know what to say about it all. Meantime, about 2 weeks later, I'm starting to get into Bible lessons from the Voice of Prophecy. Some lessons were mailed to me. I'm old enough now, I can tell that story. You know, I never told anybody that story for years. I was studying these Bible lessons, and I grew up in a home. I don't even want to talk about it. It's so crazy. But I knew right from wrong, but I wasn't living for God, and I wasn't interested in God. But my sister and my brother became Adventists, and I liked what I saw in them. And I was reading these lessons, and I learned so much, it touched my heart. And I began to believe the Bible is really a wonderful, true book. And I realized when I read it, it did something for me. It lifted me. It changed me inside. And I realized no book that man wrote could do what the Bible did for me. Why am I telling you this? Because I came to a verse in Psalms 85, verse 10. It's tremendous. It's touching. And I think God let that experience happen to me in that school parking lot to teach me something. Because the verse goes like this. It says, mercy and truth have... Do you know what it says? I know some of you know. Mercy and truth have kissed each other. I read that and I thought, oh my goodness. In some translations it says righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Now, folks, I realized that kiss in the school parking lot was a cheap kiss. It was a sensuous kiss. And I realized a kiss from God is holy, is elevating, is beautiful, is sanctifying, is accepting me into the kingdom of heaven. It touched my heart, and I thought, wow, God loves me that much. God loves me that much. Isn't it interesting and strange the things God can take and use in our life to teach us lessons? And He does. And He wants to kiss you with His grace and His mercy and His acceptance. It's marvelous what He can do and uplift you and make a different person out of you. Now, I want to talk about something else. The Bible is very interesting and it gives a whole picture on things. In Psalms 119, verse 165, one of my favorite verses, it says, great peace have they which love thy, you know what it says? Law. Great peace have they which love thy law. And as I begin to know God, I began to love His law. I used to think, I don't want to hear about it. I can't steal. If you had something you would turn the other way, weren't looking, I wanted to, I'd steal it. If you were nice to me, I was nice to you. And if you weren't, I'd hit you back. You know, that's no way to live. That's no way to live. But I read these things in the Bible and they were changing my life. And the things that it said in the Ten Commandments, all of them were things that I wanted in my life, and I wanted it in other people's lives around me. Great peace have they which love thy law. This is what King David said. He said, oh, Lord, your law is sweet. It's like honey. Oh, Lord, your law, I love your law. It's precious like gold. Oh, Lord, I love your law. Why am I talking to you about this way? Because there is no such thing as peace in the world, in your life, without law and order. Our nation, our world is in trouble because people have abandoned, disregarded, ignored God's law. Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah, yeah. There's nothing but trouble when you don't have law and order. You've got to have law and order. And when you have law and order, not because I'm making you do this, but because you love and want to do this, That's a kiss of peace and righteousness, mercy and truth meeting each other. That's beautiful. That is what happens when Jesus Christ, the righteous one, comes into your life. He brings beauty and mercy. He brings that kind of experience to you. Oh, Lord, I want that. I want more of that. Now, God says, the wicked, because they don't know or care about my law or me, their lives, it's like troubled, tossing waves that are muddy water. And Jesus said in the world, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I'm going to get you beyond this. I'm going to stand by you through it. In John 16:33, he says, these things I have spoken to you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. As we talk about peace, there's something else we have to mention. God gives us this so we'll have peace. You can't understand and know God's peace in its fullest without knowing His Sabbath. The Sabbath is there to bring us peace or rest in Jesus. Only holy time with God can take the world and its troubles away from you and bring heaven's peace into your life. God says He has a covenant or an agreement of peace with us. And one of them is to meet with us in a special way on the Sabbath. What a gift the Sabbath is. A gift of peace, a gift of Jesus, a gift of His presence. And this is one of the reasons the Jewish people greet each other, Shabbat Shalom. Happy Sabbath. Peace and joy and goodness to you on Sabbath. When Jesus comes in, those are the things He brings in. Friends, in this world of sin, until He comes and delivers us from this world, there will always be some troubles to deal with, but there will be peace and assurance and the Prince of Peace to help us go through them. Now, I want to tell you something about our Lord Jesus. The Bible is not one-sided. It's not lopsided. It tells the whole story. It's very balanced. The Bible tells us and calls Jesus the Lamb of God. Can you think of anything more harmless, more gentle, more cuddly, more non-threatening than a little lamb? Okay, you got the picture? Yeah. But it tells us in this world of sin and sinners, people that are incorrigible. Now, that's a word many of you don't know. Incorrigible means you have no respect for law. You want no constraints, no restrictions on your life. These are the kind of people that are sent to prison because you can't control them in society. They don't listen. I want to do my thing. Get the blank out of my way. I'm going to live my life. They dance to it. They sing to it. They personify it. They glorify it. It's a life of me, self. No regard for you. No respect for you. No respect for God's law. God says, yeah, I'm the Lamb of God. I'm the Prince of Peace. But you know what the Bible also says about Jesus? It says, He is the Lion. He is the Lion, this ferocious beast. One of the most dangerous animals in the world. He says, He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It also says, being from the tribe of Judah, that he is a king. And it says he is a judge. And it tells us darkness and light can never coexist. You either have one light or you have the other darkness. They cannot. It's impossible for them to coexist. And in mercy to the righteous and the wicked, he will eventually destroy the wicked that refuse his kiss of mercy. Refuse his kiss of righteousness that brings his law into our life and brings peace into our life. Do you see the beautiful full picture? Yes. Yes. Jesus is all of these things. The Bible tells us both sides of the coin. Friends, he will heal and correct what is wrong in your life and mine if we let him. He knocks at the door. We have to open the door. Is your heart's door open to Jesus? His kiss of righteousness and peace, he will come into our life. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. I love him. John Bridges, I love him because he first loved me when I didn't even treat him right. Do you, will you love him too? In Revelation 19, and we're closing this message now. In Revelation 19, it tells of a wonderful event. God is going to be reunited with his people. His people are so precious to him, he calls them his bride. And he says, you are my precious darling. I am going to bring you to me. We are going to be one. We are going to be married. And he says, we are having a great banquet in your honor, those that I've saved. And he says, I am bringing you to a beautiful home. Yes. It's like the Chinese farmer said, I have a home and a well-set table. Why should I worry about the broken jar or the spilled soup? This life is going to be past. There's going to be peace. There'll be no more memories of the heartbreaks. That's what Jesus offers you in his kiss of salvation. Isn't that wonderful? How can you resist that? If there is one soul here, one person here today, who has not taken Jesus as your precious Savior, now is the time to do it. All you have to do is say, Lord, I want to be yours. I want to be yours. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you. You love us so much. Thank you. Save us. In your mighty precious name, amen.